Hey, my name is Lauren Frieder, and my husband Drew and I are lead pastors at Lift Church. We are on the eastern shore of Maryland. We want to thank you so much for joining us today, and we are believing that you will get a lift of encouragement.
Hey, we're so glad that you're here in our Lift Church live stream experience, and I'm ready to get into the Word, but before I do, I just want to give one last shout out to mothers out there. Mothers, you guys are amazing, and I need to shout out my own mothers in my life. First and foremost, my mom, Debbie, in Louisiana, watching right now. Come on, I love you so much, Mom. Thanks for everything. I want to shout out my mother-in-law, Melanie Gladden. You are phenomenal. You are a great woman. Thank you so much for all you do. My two grandmothers-in-law, come on, my wife gave me some great grandmas who are still alive and with us. And so shout out Drew and shout out Betty. We love you so much. Thanks for being amazing. And then come on, shout out of all shout outs is my wife, the mom of all moms. Come on, if you love her, heart the bottom of this message right now. Come on, flood this whole feed with hearts right now, covering up my face, because my wife is the bomb. She is amazing, and she's a phenomenal mother. I'm telling you, we can learn so much. I'm learning so much from her. But listen, I love mothers. Lift loves mothers. So happy Mother's Day. We're going to jump into the series that we've been walking through, in a series called Altars, which is all about the Old Testament tabernacle, which Scripture tells us is a type and shadow of heaven. And did you know when we enter into prayer, we can enter into heaven on earth? We can have moments of peace and joy. We can have moments of just being real and talking with our Father and Creator. And so that's what we're doing. We're exploring prayer in a different kind of way. Maybe some of this is familiar. Maybe some of it's different. My hope is that it just kind of is a catalyst to your prayer life as you dive deeper into this time. We're all quarantined, but that doesn't mean we can't do powerful things. We can be praying right now, and so we lean into the tabernacle to learn more about prayer. You know me, let me draw a little bit or show you an example of what that tabernacle looks like.
So here's the same drawing we've been talking about recently, and we've already seen how God's presence is here in the most holy place, and we're coming from the world out here, and this is the tabernacle. This is the outer fencing, and then there's the actual tent, which is about the size of a half a football field, with the holy place and the most holy place. Now, as you recall, at Easter, we talked about the brazen altar and Jesus dying for our sins right there, and then we step forward to the laver, which is a wash basin where we wash of all the filth that the world's brought upon us. And then we move inside and we have the candlestick, which illuminates and brings wisdom and healing. And we can pray prayers like that at the candlestick as it lights up the room. And then there was last week the table of showbread, which is provision for the journey. It's food, it's sustenance, that God is the bread of life. And today it's the altar of incense, which is put against the veil, against the curtain, which means we've never been so close to God. And this is what prayer can look like as we enter the most holy place.
And so now we come to the altar of incense. This would be right in front of the veil, right next to the presence of God. Come on, why don't you pray with me? Father, we thank you so much for your word of God that brings truth and illuminates our lives. In Jesus' name, I pray that you'd speak to us today from your word, change and mold and move our hearts. Let us not be the same after listening to your word. Grow us and grow us closer to you and more like you. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, this week we were out in the community and we were serving the community. And so you all know that when you get there, we now have to put our masks on. And so I'm sitting here talking to somebody in the community. And as I'm doing it, the guy looks at me and he says, "Is that an N95 mask?" I'm like, "Yeah." And he's like, "I used to have one of those. I gave it away." I'm thinking, okay, like, do you want mine? And he's like, "I gave it away to a girl. She was a little girl. She was like coughing. And I'm pretty sure she was sick. But, you know, he was really heaping it on. Like, once she put on my mask, though, she instantly stopped coughing, and I haven't been able to find one since. But glad you got an N95 mask. I just got one of these disposable masks, and I'm sitting here thinking, like, hey, bro, you want mine, man? Like, and I asked myself, did I just encounter mask envy? Like, have you ever walked around checking each other's masks out and thought, man, that brother's got a nice mask. If I had a mask like that, I'd be picking up all the chick. No, I'm just joking. But I did wonder, like, bro, what are we focused on here? Are we focused on our situation or are we still focused on us? You know, so oftentimes we're so wired to focus on us. We're concerned about us. We're looking within. We're dealing with our own thoughts, fears, insecurities, egos. And we're so often focused on us. But listen, the altar of incense, when you get to it, the message of the altar of incense says, look higher. Look higher, look up, stop looking at yourself, but look higher. And so in the altar, there you would come to an altar of incense. Now, I'm actually using real frankincense right now, which is one of the gifts that the wise men brought to Jesus when he was born. And so the Bible says that in the most holy place, there needs to be, or the holy place rather, there needs to be a candlestick. There needs to be bread for provision, but then there also needs to be the altar of incense. And what the altar of incense does is it reminds us, look up, look higher, quit looking at yourself. What I love about smoke is it always goes upwards. It goes towards God. It is a constant reminder to look up. I think about what Abraham was kicking the dirt in self-pity and loathing one time. And he was like, sure, everything's going well, but I don't have a son. And what did God tell him? He said, look up. Look up at the stars. Look at what's going on. Look at the majesty. Look higher. As long as you're just looking at the ground, feeling self-pity and like a victim, then yeah, you're going to be down. But believe for greater things. Believe higher. Look at the creator of the universe, the one who set the stars in the sky. Look up and worship him. And that will take you away from your self-pity and loathing. It's so easy in this quarantine time and corona to just go, woe is me, woe is me. I'm stuck at home. And here's the message at the altar of incense right now. It's not my message. It's God's message. And that's this. Look up. The creator of the universe is still on the throne. He's still creating and doing amazing things. Are we not experiencing some great spring weather so that we could get out? Let's look up. Stop looking at your N95 masks and comparing. Stop looking at your clothes, your positions, and your payrolls, and look up. Stop comparing to one another and instead look up. It's at the altar of incense that we are reminded to do that. When's the last time you looked up in worship? Seriously, during this corona time, let me tell on myself a little bit. Well, you can watch the experiences like we did during the worship time where the band was playing and everything, and you can sit on your couch and you can, lay in your bed or actually try to wrangle up your kids and tell them, man, be quiet, I'm trying to worship. Come on, you know some of y'all are doing that. And you can actually forget, it's been a long time since I worshiped. The other day, I was in the shower singing, and I had worship music playing, and I realized it felt like it had been a month. I'm just being honest with you. It felt like it had been a month since I just opened my mouth and just out loud just started singing. Come on. If he's done it before, he will do it again. Come on, little Marvin Sapp never hurt nobody, right? I'm safe in you. I'm safe in the arms of Jesus. My wife is like, what took you so long in the shower today? I said, I was worshiping, and I promise you, it sounded so much better in the shower. Y'all would have thought I should have been the lead singer today if you heard me there, man. I'm telling you, the reverb was on it. You know what I'm talking about. But sometimes we can forget to look up, open your mouth and worship up, sing up, worship at the table of, at the altar of incense. And so, you know, after we've walked through the whole tabernacle experience, we've already passed the brazen altar, which reminds us that Jesus Christ died for our sins. Then we were able to have a spot where we could wash of our sins and we could wash of the uncleanliness we picked up on the journey as we go over there. I feel like I'm speaking to you through smoke. I'm going to move this over a bit. Come on. Then he provided us a wash place and a refreshing place at the laver. And then he illuminates and gives us wisdom in the Holy Spirit and healing at the candlestick. And then there's provision and there's food for the journey. And I'm refreshed in my soul and my body now. So when I come to the altar of incense, I can't help but to have a lot to worship. I got a reason to worship. I got a reason to dance. I got a reason to sing. I got a reason to raise my voice. Come on. See, listen. The altar of incense elicits praise in two ways. And that's this. Number one, this incense has a fragrant, noticeable, sweet-smelling aroma. We smell it right now, and I wish you had smell-o-vision right now where you're watching, where you could smell it. But I'm telling you, it's starting to smell sweet in here. It's smelling different in here. And when you live in a society that's all got the same stale news and the same stale smell and the woe is me attitude, when somebody walks in with a spirit of worship, oh, it smells different. It smells sweeter. It's attractive. 2 Corinthians 2, verse 14 and 15 says, God uses us to spread the knowledge of Christ everywhere, like a sweet perfume. Our lives are a Christ-like fragrance rising up from God. At the altar of incense, we're reminded, this is what my life is supposed to be. No matter what environment I go in, it's a game changer. All of a sudden, I become a new aroma in the room because I love God and I'm worshiping Him and I'm going to bring joy and encouragement and excitement and hope. It's a game changer. It's a sweet aroma that the world is actually seeking. And listen, I'm going to tell you, in light of the events that we're learning from this past week of Ahmaud Arbery, I'm going to tell you right now, that smell was a stinky smell. That was a foul smell. That was a putrid smell. From what I can tell of the articles I'm reading, it smells foul to me. And see, we are called to be the type of people who are not releasing a foul smell, but a sweet aroma that God says is pleasing to His nostrils. When He smells the attitude of our life, is He pleased or is He kind of going, ha ha, P.U., come on. Yeah, I'm thinking about you with kids. You know what I'm talking about. Here's the second thing it does, and it reminds us that praise is always upward moving. So often in modern day, we can think, man, what is that singer wearing? And what is that song they're playing? And why did they pick this one? That ain't my jam. And you know what? They should really turn it up, or they should really turn it down. And listen, when it comes to worship, worship should be upwards focused, not vertical focused. You know what worship is? It's not you give me time of prayer. It's I give you time of prayer. So much of our prayers is, God, I need you to bring me this. I need you to heal this person, and I want this. But this is a moment at the altar of incense where it's not you give me, but instead it's the part of prayer where I say, I give you. I give you praise and adoration. I give you exaltation. I give you recognition of who you are in my life. I don't need a thing. Just to hang out in your presence and to lift up songs of praise is what I want to do right now. It's also not horizontal time, but it's vertical time. I went to a middle school camp once where all my leaders, when they found out we got horizontal time, they were stoked, and I was not. I was like, I don't want to take a nap in the middle of the day. I'm not an old geezer yet. I don't want to do that. And if you do take naps, good for you. I'm starting to do it too. I'm not calling you old. I retract that. Take that out of the tape. Probably won't. Anyway, listen. It's not horizontal time. It's vertical time. It's my focus on Him time. And that's what Live Church is designed to be. It's designed to be uplifting in our experiences. Here's one thing when we were serving the city this past week. Check out one of the lunch ladies that we brought lunches to. We sent out over 150 lunches to waterworks and wastewater treatment employees, as well as Board of Education employees. One of the lunch ladies so kindly texted my wife and I, because we put our number with it, and told them we would be happy to pray with them over anything. One of them used our number to send this text. The lunch ladies from Fruitland Primary just wanted to say thank you so much for our lunch. What a beautiful blessing. Your church truly brightened our day. Thank you so much. Love, Benita, Ella, and Billy. Come on. Isn't that what we're supposed to do? Brighten other people's day with the love of Jesus. Come on. That's the greatest lift you can have in life. And I want to illustrate something to you also about what incense does. And that's what it does this. You know, in the absence of fog, in the absence of incense, in the absence of any sort of smoke, then there is a light source. Right now, I'm being lit by a light source that many of y'all don't see except on my face. But here's the cool thing. When you add incense, now all of a sudden, what was invisible is visible. Did you know that light has been in the gap in between that light source and me the whole time? Just because we can see the beginning of the light source and just because we can see the end of the light source doesn't mean light is not in the invisible spot. What it needs is gas or a particle in between. And you know what it does? It illuminates a room. It's a game changer. What was once invisible is now visible. And check this out. That's what's true when we begin to worship at the altar of incense. What was once invisible, my faith, my belief on the inside of me, that the people around me may not be able to see. Guess what? What was once invisible, it's now visible. People around me can see my faith being expressed because they see my altar of incense, my worship going up, and the light of God is shining down on it. And now all of a sudden, my neighbors see it. When you serve your neighbors, there goes your altar of incense. When you raise your hands in worship, the unseen is now seen. When you give, when there's no kickback in it for you, all of a sudden, altar of incense. When you sing, the invisible is visible. When you give your time to invest fatherhood or motherhood to someone who doesn't have that, when you give of your life to mentor, when you bow down and worship, the invisible becomes visible. And that's what I love so much about the altar of incense. In fact, when you put enough incense in a room, it illuminates the whole room even brighter. It makes the light of God even more expressive and obvious. It begins to look like this. Come on, is it not better when the incense has, this is what the holy place would have looked more like. It's not just a stale room with a little bit of light and bread. It's actually got this incense and smoky feel to it, which makes everything shine better. Remember, it's full of gold and it's being candle lit. And so it makes everything illuminate a little bit better. What was once visible, invisible is now visible. And so let's get our worship on. Did you know that you were created to worship? Revelation 4 verse 11 says, you created God. God created all things, and it is for your pleasure that they exist and were created. When we bring God pleasure, that's called worship. And so a lot of times it's associated with music, and that's why we put out musical instruments and stuff. But it's clearly not the only time we worship. In fact, we are called to live lifestyles of worship that at our workplace, in our marriages, in our parenting, in our friendships, in our obedience to government, in our finances, and in our love, we are called to be perpetual worshipers, upward seeking. And so how do we do that? Psalm 104 was a song that was sung, and we call it Psalms. And chapter 104 is one of my favorites. It's actually gone down as one of the best creation songs. And it's a song of worship. And we can't go through the whole thing, but I wish I could give you this as homework. Read it this week. In fact, read it today and be in awe and wonder again. This is what it says in verse 1. Let all that I am praise the Lord. O Lord, my God, how great you are. You are robed with honor and majesty. And see, listen, I hear in this first verse three preparations for praise. When we start bringing him our praise at the in prayer at the altar of incense, there's three preparations. Number one is this, let all that is within me praise God. Number one is this, physical preparation. We should have a spirit of full attention on God, and we physically adjust ourselves to be that way. That's why for some, they like to change their posture and bow down and get on their knees. That's why for some, we raise our hands or we sing out loud. Here's a thing. We should use our voices. The Bible tells us this, that there is power. There's life and death in the tongue, and the tongue has great power. Why not use the gift and the power to express adoration towards God? I physically prepare myself to sing out. You know, you got to direct yourself to begin to worship. Tell yourself, I don't care if we feel it or not, here we go. And you know, when I think about creation, which this is a creation song, I got to think this, God didn't create the world and the universe and the earth and you and me by thinking it. He created it by speaking it. Come on, you can't just think it. I encourage you to speak it. Sing out your praise. Praise Him. Speak it out. Let heaven hear it. Let Him hear your praise. With all that I am, with my tongue, with my mind, with my hands, with my knees, with my feet, with my jumping, my calves. Oh, my calves gonna hurt afterward. But with all that I am, I'm gonna praise the Lord right now. Number two, it says, oh Lord my God, how great you are. And that is mental preparation. We need to have a spirit of awe as we approach God. I want to prepare. I'm not just speaking to one of my friends. I'm talking to the creator of the universe, the one who spoke and the stars were set in the sky. Come on. Pastor Douglas Withrop says this, Jesus is in chorus clarity and majesty. He is the answer and the question. He is the discovery and the road to discovery. Jesus both fills you with breath and takes your breath away. Come on, I'm mentally prepared. God, take my breath away again as I worship your majesty. You know, William Jennings Bryan once used a watermelon as a metaphor for the mystery of God. And see, God is full of awe and wonder. This is what he said. I have observed the watermelon seed. It has the power of drawing from the ground and through itself 200,000 times its own weight. When you can tell me how it takes this material and out of the colors and outside surface beyond the imitation of art and then forms it into a white rind and within that again a red heart thickly inlaid with black seeds, each one of which in turn is capable of drawing through itself 200,000 times its own weight. When you can explain to me the mystery of the watermelon, you can ask me to explain the mystery of God. Come on, when's the last time you let God blow your mind? Like, God, that watermelon should be blowing my mind, and you are infinitely higher. And then number three, it says this, you are robed with honor and majesty, and that's emotional preparation. Physical, mental, and emotional preparation. I'm going to have a spirit of adoration. You are not just good. You are clothed with good. You have power and skill and ingenuity. It's all around you. And so I'm going to emotionally prepare to honor you and that you are good. Let's break down a little bit more about this psalm. Check this out. Sometimes it's hard to praise, isn't it? For some of you, Mother's Day is not a fun day because you're thinking about how you've recently lost your mother or your grandmother. And so it can be a difficult time. And I'm not saying that when you enter the altar of incense, you always feel like praising. But God is always worthy of our praise. Can I get an amen? Holla, shout at your boy. But that doesn't mean we feel like it all the time, right? I want to give you three secrets of when you have a problem, when praise becomes a problem. Let's do this. Verse 5 says this, you placed the world on its foundations so it would never be moved. Number one is this. When praise is a problem, praise Him for creation. When you got nothing else to praise Him for creation. Did you know that you might feel like you're sitting still right now, but you and I are in fact moving at 67,108 miles per hour as the earth orbits the sun? And yet we feel completely still. Add to that, the earth is doing 1,000 mile per hour pirouette every 24 hours as it does a full 360. And yet we feel like we're completely still. When's the last time you praised God for that miracle? We are moving at ballistic speeds, and yet God has given us a peace of mind and a frame of mind. That's one just bit of the cosmos that just blows my mind. When you think about this, if the earth were moved a mile closer to the sun, we'd all burn up. And a mile further from the sun, we'd all freeze. When's the last time we praised God for that bit of creation? God's creation blows my mind. Look at the platypus and try not to laugh. Come on. Is he not creative? And is he not just a master creator? And so when you begin to praise him for big things, then you tend to praise him better for the little things. That's why when I'm having a problem praising, I'll praise him for creation. Because when I praise him for the big things, I tend to be more appreciative to praise him for the little things. I love that hymn, How Great Thou Art. Let me just read a few lines for you. This is what one worshiper wrote, and we've sung for ages. Oh Lord my God, when I am in awesome wonder, consider all thy hands have made. I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. And what does it do to me? Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Come on, it sounds better in the shower. But this is what I'm telling you. Don't blame it on the rain. Praise him for the rain.
Blame it on the rain, yeah, yeah.
So when you're having a problem praising for creation. Here's number two. Look at verse 14. It says this. You cause grass to grow for the livestock and plants for people to use. You allow them to produce food for the whole earth. Number two, when you're having a problem praising, number two, praise him for provision. See, like the sparrow who's provided for without even asking for it, God is constantly providing for you and I. He doesn't leave us hanging. And when's the last time we praised him for that? Have you not had God come through at the last moment? If you haven't, I want to encourage you to come to the altar of incense and begin to just praise him and ask him to show himself as the my God, my provider. He is such a great God. See, even grace before meals sometimes become haphazard for us, right? You know, we either skip them or we do them as I did in my Catholic days. Bless us, O Lord, for these thy gifts which we're about to receive from thy bounty through Christ our Lord. Amen. Let's grub! Come on. Or my favorite Bernie Mac said in one movie that he did. He was like, O Lord, thank you. Amen. Come on. We take for granted some of the provisions God's given us, right? He's a great provider. And so just begin with the small things sometimes if we have to, right? Praise him for the setup. God is a provider. This is what I wrote down. You take a little bit of rain that he provided. You add grass, which he provided, pastures, which he provided, cows, which he provided. Now you got some Angus filet mignon. Somebody praise him right now. Or how about this? Rain, which leads to ravines, which leads to fish, which give us sushi. Can I get an amen right now? Right? Rain, soil, sun, soybeans, tofu. Okay, that's not a very good example. But rain, soil, sun, leafy greens, vegetarians. Come on, can you give me a shout out right now? How about rain, soil, sun, turmeric, which leads to anti-inflammation, and pain relief. Come on, somebody say Ben Gay. Come on. How about this? Rain, sun, peanut seed, peanuts, which leads to glue, shaving cream, peanut butters and jelly, soap, insecticides, cosmetics, wood stains, fertilizer, Worcestershire sour sauce. Come on, cure for hunger in malnutritioned area and skin lotion. Can somebody who hasn't been ashy in a while say amen for the peanut? What you really need to say amen for is amen for our provider, our God. Come on, when you're having problems, praise him for creation, praise him for his provision. And then number three, verse 19, you made the moon to mark the seasons and the sun to know when to set. Number three is this, when your praise is a problem, praise him for his consistency. Our God is immutable and we are not. What does that mean? It means he's not mutant. He does not change. He's ever present. He's consistent. In a crazy, inconsistent world, when we don't know what our tomorrows bring, he's the consistent one. How many of us back in March knew Corona would hit us like this the very next day? And yet, God has not changed. I need a consistent God that I provide my praise to at the altar. You know, as I was studying this, I found out in the ruins of Arizona, they had buildings where some Indians had bore out two holes, and they couldn't figure out what those two holes were for. But you know what they were? The Indians, once they found out that when they looked through those two holes and they could see the moon, it was their indication that it's the best time to plant corn crop. Come on. They depended on God's consistency in his creation to tell them when it was time to praise and to plant. Listen, we need to lean into this. You were created to praise. I end with this, verse 33 and 34. I will sing to the Lord as long as I live. I will praise my God to my last breath. May all my thoughts be pleasing to him, for I rejoice in the Lord. We were created to praise. So let's lean into that right now. I didn't want to leave this experience without an opportunity to praise God. Maybe you didn't praise him before. No condemnation. Here's an awesome opportunity to praise him right now for his creation, his provision, and his consistency. Let's do it.
God of creation, there at the start, before the beginning of time, with no point of reference, you spoke to the dark and fleshed out the wonder of light. And as you speak, 100 billion galaxies are born in the vapor of your breath, the planets form. If the stars are made to worship, so I can see your heart and everything you made. Every burning star, a signal fire of if creation sings your praises, so will I. God of your promise, you don't speak in vain, no syllable empty or void. You have spoken on nature and science, follow the sound of your voice. Ooh. And as you speak, 100 billion creatures catch your breath.
So
failure and pride. Wanna heal you created, light of the world, abandoned in darkness to die. And as you speak, a 100 billion failures disappear. We lost your life so I could find it. If you left the grave behind you so could amount to your desire. You're the one who never leaves the one behind.
You know, I believe that just now the Holy Spirit was moving, and many of y'all felt something supernatural just now. It was like a peace that surpasses all understanding as you engaged and as you leaned into that song. For some of you, you might not have ever leaned into something like that before, never leaned into God. And wasn't His presence sweet? I want you to know God's not angry with you. God's not frustrated with you, but He is looking for you to come home. If you know that you're not right with God, you knew it in that song. Come on, I don't need to convince you. The Holy Spirit was telling you, this is home. This is right. This is how you were created to be. I want to tell you, God's not going to take your fun away if you give Him your life. Instead, He's going to give you your joy. He's going to give you your peace. And He's going to give you an assurance that you'll end up in heaven and you're not going to experience hell. God is in love with you. That's why He was wooing you just now. And I believe right now, this is the opportunity to say, God, I give you my life. You can do it in a simple prayer. I want to invite you to pray this prayer with me, just like you just sang that song with her. Come on, pray this. Jesus, I give you my life. I'm sorry for my sins. I lay down my old ways and I choose to follow you. Thank you for Jesus dying on the cross for me, beaten and bruised for me, so that I could be set free. Thank you for the new start you're giving me now. And I give you my life. Take control. Be my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, if you just prayed that prayer, I believe you just made the best decision of your life. I prayed that prayer in 2002, and my life has never been the same. It's been amazing since then. Listen, there's ups and downs, but God is with me, and He's for me, and He's not against me, and that is true for you too. We want to hear about your decision. Let us know by texting LIFT DECISION, one word, LIFT DECISION, to the number 94,000. We want to connect with you and help you walk out this walk. Come on, we're so proud of you. Thank